This is VSiN Prime Time. Live from the Circus Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas on VSiN, the sports betting network.
All right, welcome back. VSiN Prime Time on a Friday night. Will Hill, Matt Humans, and how about professional boxer Rolando Raleigh Romero from Las Vegas in studio with us tonight. Got a big fight coming up. We're going to talk about that in a minute. Will Hill, let's get a quick baseball update on what's happening around the world of MLB, and the Boston Red Sox and Chicago Cubs are rolling again.
Cubs are piling it on. Or the Red Sox are piling it on. They lead 10-1. I think they scored five runs in the second after a scoreless first, but that is 10-1, and they are running away with that game. And then the Cubs, after falling behind 1-0, are up 4-1. I keep mentioning this. You can get this at Caesars. Shop around. Cubs over the Red Sox, 100-1 to win the World in the World Series in Exacta. The other way around, 150-1, Red Sox over the Cubs. Not bad bets to make. Both teams winning again tonight.
Red Sox and Cubs, very strong favorites on the card. Some people thought that about Ryan Garcia when he fought this guy in May of 2025. And Rolando Raleigh Romero, you pulled the upset that night. Was that the last time you fought?
It was actually the last time I fought. I've been out of the ring for, what, 15 months now?
Yeah,
over going a on year. 16 months. Did well, you have, no, it's actually, yeah, going on 16 months.
Did you have an injury? Why the long layoff between fights?
Everyone ducked me.
Is that right?
You know, it's kind of hard. You know, imagine I'm the most avoided fighter in boxing. I could sell a fight. I could trash talk. And I have a world title. And now nobody wants to fight me out of nowhere because they realized I punch a little bit harder than before now at the weight class, you know? I grew into my weight class. I feel a lot stronger at welterweight. And I needed this year to actually grow more into my body, too.
Welterweight champ at 147, three-division champion, right?
Three-division, 135, 140, 147.
All right, so you're going to fight.
I got 19 fights, too.
19 fights? This will be fight number 20 against Teofimo Lopez on August 22nd at T-Mobile Arena, correct?
Correct, correct.
Do you believe you should be the favorite in this fight?
I don't really care.
And you don't care?
Yeah, okay. I wasn't the favorite when I fought Ryan, and we saw how that went. You ever just, you know, every single time somebody's a favorite, somehow they lose, and then somehow the underdog wins, you know? You never know. You can never predict boxing. You can never predict the future.
You are the underdog in this fight at plus 200. I figure you probably were okay with that.
You want to make some money?
Yeah, we're going to bet you.
Of course.
Okay.
All right, Matt and I are two guys that like to eat. Let me hear about a pre-fight routine, the regimen, the diet. Is it something that's strict for you? What are you going through here as you get ready for this fight?
Oh, man, no. There's some days when it's like, bro, like I'm like in complete calorie deficit where I just like I have to starve myself, you know? Like, especially when I was at 35 and 40, man, like, dude, imagine like eating no carbs, no nothing, being complete calorie deficit. It's insane how much weight I had to lose. You know, like I had to lose 40 pounds when I'd fight at 35. In 2 months, that's a lot of weight.
You have a cheat meal, anything you crave when you can't have it more than anything else?
Dude, I eat everything. That's the thing, bro. I'm always hungry. I eat a lot. Like, when I mean I eat a lot, everyone will tell you I eat a lot. So, it's crazy because, like, you see me when I get big, I have, like, literally the same body, but it just gets bigger, not fatter. I don't get fat. I still have abs. I still everything. I just get big, you know? And, like right now, I'm skinny right now. Obviously, because I'm 10 pounds over fight weight, but I just get massive. Like, it's weird how my body works.
One thing I really like, respect about boxers, they have a great appreciation for the past, guys that came before, more so, I think, than even in other sports. Any guys you looked up to? Any guys you model your game after? Anyone you really, grew up respecting, watching? You go through old YouTube fights, and anyone you really model yourself after?
My dad. Yeah, I liked my dad, how he fought and all that stuff. I learned a lot from him. But as far as, like, for, like, world-level fighters, I mean, I love Prince Nassim Ahmed. Roberto Duran's the greatest lightweight of all time and the best inside fighter of all time. Floyd Mayweather, you know what I mean? And I was signed to Mayweather Promotions, you know, for the longest, and he was my promoter. And I learned a lot from just watching Floyd. Regan Diao, you know, explosive Cuban. Like, it's a lot of fighters that, you know, you learn from, you know, like, you take one little thing from each one little fighter, boom, 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 and then from there you make a style from it, you know?
I know Floyd, knew him in the past, really like him, good guy. Hopefully he can get his finances in order. Do you think we're going to see Floyd fight again? I think we are, right?
I think he's fighting September. Yeah. Yeah, I'm hearing he's supposed to fight Mike Tyson or something.
I mean a real fight, not an exhibition. Do you think we'll see him in a real boxing fight and not just an exhibition?
I think he's going to fight Manny Pacquiao.
Yeah, well, they were talking about whether that was going to be an exhibition or a real fight. Hopefully he comes back in what's a legitimate fight. There were negotiations ongoing about that, but Pacquiao-Mayweather, I remember the last fight between those two. I don't know if you recall this. Remember Pacquiao
May 2015.
Pacquiao had a shoulder injury. And he basically,
that's what they all say, but do you have a shoulder injury, but you put your arms in the air like this after you lose? I won. If you have a real shoulder injury and it's torn, you physically cannot do that without pain.
You can't lift your arm, yeah.
Yeah, so I don't believe anything Pacquiao says about that. You don't?
Know? Okay.
No, I don't. I truly don't.
So this fight against Teofimo Lopez, who you apparently were close friends with at one point, but you're not anymore. Is that the case?
No, we're still friends.
You're still friends?
Yeah.
Okay.
You never punched your friend in the face?
Yeah, I have before, a long time ago. But I wouldn't punch this guy in the face.
He ain't make you that angry yet.
But you guys are still pretty good friends?
Yeah.
Okay. So it's not a grudge match or anything like that?
No.
Somebody gave us some information on this fight and said you used to be friends, but you had a falling out. And now this is going to get ugly.
Well, we had a fallout, but I mean, then we got back, you know, we're still friends, you know? Okay. You know, you just, it's boxing, man. You know, sometimes, like, that's why I say, like, I don't get the misconception to say, oh, you can't fight your friends, you can't fight your, you spar your friends, right? You fought all your friends in the amateurs.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, there's nothing wrong fighting your friends.
So Lopez is the favorite in this fight. Why do you think he's been made the favorite and you're the underdog?
I mean, he has more fights than me.
Okay.
He has more fights and, you know, he had that big win against Lomachenko and Josh Taylor and, you know. So, I don't know. I don't really know too much about odds or any of that stuff. I know about boxing. And I know a lot of the time the odds are wrong it's easy to pick underdogs, you know, especially if you know boxing and you know what's going on in the sport, it's easy to pick underdogs. So,
you know, we talk about that a lot with UFC. Do you watch much UFC?
No, I don't.
Okay.
Keys to the fight. What are some things they're emphasizing to you? You got to do this. Can't do that. Anything in particular, one or two that jump out to you?
Yeah. You got to punch him in the face really hard. You can't lose if you punch him in the face more times than they punch you. Unless you get knocked out. But you know, so when you punch him in the face, make sure you keep your hands up after so you don't get punched in the face too.
Good.
That's how you win the fight.
How do you feel like your style matches up against Lopez, and do you think you have an advantage in this fight or not? Do you spend a lot of time studying him on tape in your camp?
I don't watch tape.
You don't watch tape at all?
No, I don't. I don't watch tape for anyone. Yeah. You know, when you just know somebody, you know somebody. You can see right through them.
Yeah. You know enough about Lopez, you feel very confident you can beat him.
Yeah, it's like me and Ryan. It's like, I didn't need a steady Ryan. It's like, bro, like, I can see right through him. Just from the one time that me and Ryan sparred, or the two times me and him sparred, right? But the first time we sparred 2 days apart, literally within two rounds, I figured out his whole style and everything he does, Brian. It's what carried all the way over to today.
Right.
He still does the exact same things, same thing with Tio. I believe Tio's a better fighter and more, but same thing with me, same thing with Ryan, you know, but we still all do the same things.
Before that fight against Garcia, did you tell all your friends, all right, bet on me and you're going to make money?
Man, I tell everybody bet on me. Yeah. Make that money.
After you win, how are you going to celebrate? Are you going to invite Matt and I? I know we just met each other, but I feel like we're bonding already.
Y'all want to come party?
How do you sell? If you do win, though, when you win?
I don't drink. I don't party. Oh, okay. I don't do any of that stuff. I'm going to go probably on a nice vacation, enjoy myself, go back to Miami.
Okay.
And just hide out and...
You ready for the next one?
No, not even get ready for the next one. Just go hide out.
You don't drink, you don't party, and you no longer drop F-bombs.
No, I became a... I got closer to God. I read the whole Bible during that time off. And I changed my life a lot.
Nice job doing that. By the way, does the 110 degree heat in Vegas help you in terms of training? Do you train outside at all? You're running like Rocky? Do you run the streets?
Yeah, if I run, I run at night. I'm not going to run during the day. If not, I run on the indoor track. But it's not good to train in the heat like that, like in the sun and all that stuff. Nah. I mean, you want to be in a gym that doesn't have AC and like you can actually sweat in it. But you don't want to be training in the heat because that's actually kind of just destroys your body and takes a lot more out of you than beneficial.
Main event, August 22nd at T-Mobile. There it is, Romero, Lopez. Lopez minus 225, Romero plus 175. You can actually find plus 200 out there, it looks like. Give us a prediction. Is this going to be a long fight? How do you envision this fight playing out on August 22nd?
There's only one way to find out. You just got to tune in. I can't give you guys no prediction.
But you're going to win. You did get
Of course. I'm keeping that belt forever.
Okay. Will Hill, where can we watch this fight? Do you know?
Let's ask him.
You guys can watch it. You guys can order pay-per-view on Amazon Prime and on DAZN pay-per-view.
And you can also watch it right here in the Circa Sportsbook. That's the main event, August 22nd. Romero, Lopez, don't miss it. Hey, thanks for stopping by. Great to see you. Quick break here on VSIN Primetime. Back in a couple minutes with Braves, Yankees, and more baseball here on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Yankees update. You love your Yankees updates on Friday nights. Will Hill, Matt Eumanns, we're in studio. Yankees are always playing when we're on the air on Friday nights. And, Will, we had an interesting top of the first inning. Give us the detail on what happened, why the Braves do not have the lead in this game.
Yeah, and I'll be the first one to complain when I get a bad break. But, hey, got to admit when I get a break in my favor. Braves had two on, two out. A base hit from the Braves looked like it scored a run, except Ozzie Albies was thrown out at third, and the run, which originally counted, was waved off because the out was recorded before whoever it was for the Braves touched home. His foot was like in midair, and another half a step. And I don't know that he was busting it to home. He probably thinks, you know what, base hit, I'm in good shape. I'm not sure if he was running hard, but the bottom line, run doesn't count. A break for the Yankees. So it's now bottom of the first, two outs, man on first, Ramos. Two out walk here, man, him hitting third.
So
it's not exactly Ruth and Gehrig hitting third, fourth, but Yankees scoreless here, bottom of the first. They did catch a big, big break, top of the first.
Hey, look, it's if there's Richie B talking about a sports gambling Hall of Famer outside. Look how sharp he looks. There's VSiN Vinny Maiulo, who's going in the Hall of Fame tonight. He's out there. Will, it kind of makes you, even though you got a sport coat on, we feel underdressed. It's a black tie dinner out there tonight, and the Hall of Famers outside the studio. Cody Bellinger, maybe Stanton comes back, and Judge, if they can get all these guys back, this lineup's going to look pretty strong in late September and October if they can get all these guys back.
Got to get them healthy. Got to keep them healthy. But there is a scenario where you have that lineup. Now, if you don't catch the Rays, you're going to have to deal with that best two out of three, and you might be playing the Red Sox again, a rematch of that 4-5 series. It could be a same location as it was last year. That was a fun series, but that would not be an easy scenario. But you're lined up with Schlittler, Fried, Cole. I wonder how they'd organize that pitching. I'd imagine you give Schlittler the ball in game one.
I was thinking about this the other day. And I'm sure Boone and Cashman will find a way to screw it up. But as good – now, Schlittler did it against the Red Sox at home last year in the playoffs. But I wouldn't be inclined to start him on the road in the playoffs. His road numbers have been unbelievable.
Yeah. Well, remember that best two out of three is in one location. So you don't flip. So that's
– I'm not necessarily talking about the first round or whatever. I'm just saying looking down the road in the playoffs
– right.
If I'm setting up the Yankees pitching, I would probably set it up to have Schlittler make a road start.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that's a little ways down the road, and we'll talk about that later.
I mean, you could have a potential Cy Young winner, though, and you were going to, like, save him for Game 3. That would be unusual. I get what you're saying, though.
Well, I mean, his ERA on the road is, like, under 1, right, or, like, 101 or 098, something like that. It's incredible. He's got Bob Gibson-type numbers on the road.
Yeah.
And at home, he's got an ERA of about 4 and a record of 2-4.
Yeah.
And like you said, he's a fastball pitcher, and a lot of times he leaves these fastballs high in the zone. And next thing you know, they're flying over that right field wall or right center field wall. I've seen too much of that from Schwitler in the second half of the season. I would be a lot more confident starting him on the road in a big playoff game. But that's just based off trends and actually everything I've seen from him in his recent starts. Red Sox 11, A's 1. We were talking about this Red Sox run. And even the professional boxer, Rolando Raleigh Romero, was impressed. He was talking about, well, this is crazy. Baseball teams don't win 27 out of 30 games. And he asked us, do they have some new players? Where are they winning?
Yeah, and it's hard to believe. 32-46 on June 24th. Anybody to be this hot is just almost unheard of. Yeah. But when you're 14 games under 500, it's not like they're 14, you know, had a bad April or bad, you know, 6 weeks. I mean, you're almost in July, and they're one of the worst teams in baseball, one of the worst teams in the American League. And here they are. 6 weeks later, and they just can't lose, and they're winning again today, and I'm sure we look at the line tomorrow, they'll be a big favorite. It's just they are a freight train right now. Right now, who do you think wins the AL East?
I'm going to still go with the Rays,
yeah.
But the Rays in a tight race with the Red Sox and the Yankees right there. I mean, it's hard to make that prediction because we don't know what the Yankees are going to look like over the next
That's a big part of it.
But I feel like it's going to be very tight going to the wire. And at some point here, the Red Sox have to cool off. There's got to be some regression.
Did the trade deadline trigger any bets for you? I know a lot of people.
I try not to overreact to the trade deadline because every year we talk about this. And a lot of times these big moves at the deadline backfire.
I agree.
You know?
I agree. I liked what the Cubs did, though. And it's easy to say that after they beat the Dodgers 3 in a row and
I do like
are winning
the Cubs
game tonight. Did. But that's a good defense. You know, Gausman, Holmes keeps the ball on the ground. They need pitching. And they got a lot of pitching. So, you know, we can complain that Brian Cashman didn't make enough moves. The Cubs certainly made moves.
Well, that's actually, I'm glad you said that because I did say, I give the Cubs a lot of credit for being aggressive. They made moves I think are going to help that team. The Cubs were one of the big winners at the trade deadline. And where I started to get nervous about my Brewers division bet was on Sunday afternoon. The Miz started against the Angels in Anaheim. And the Angels had just traded away some key players. They're still one of the worst teams in baseball. Yeah. Traded guys away. They're starting against the Cy Young favorite, the Miz, and the Brewers lost that game 3-0 to the Angels. I think Wade Meckler hit a two-run homer.
Yeah.
And I said, this is not going to be easy down the stretch. Milwaukee's going to make this tough. And the Cubs are making it tough. Brewers have the best record in baseball. But the Cubs are putting a lot of pressure on them from behind. And guess what? Brewers had a 4-0 lead tonight. The game is now tied at 6.
It's not Milwaukee, though. It's Wisco, based on the front of those uniforms. Just some weird, kind of hideous City Connect jerseys throughout baseball. And these teams play, Matt, 7 times between now and September 9th.
Cubs and Brewers?
Cubs and Brewers, yeah. 7 times.
Tim Murray will attend one of those games, I believe.
Well, he's going to a lot of Cubs games.
He likes going back to Milwaukee.
Oh, okay.
He does a sports radio show mornings in Milwaukee.
They get him free tickets.
And, he gets trips back there and gets treated like a king when he goes back to Milwaukee. The VSiN College Football Betting Guide is out, in case you haven't heard. Sign up for VSiN Pro today. Get instant access to our College Football Betting Guide featuring previews of all 138 FBS teams. 138. Preseason top 50. I combined on with Paul Stone. Our power ratings. Betting systems, best bets from VSiN's sharpest handicappers. Plus, you also get our NFL betting guide, the Fantasy Life Fantasy Football Guide, daily best bets, betting splits, AI-powered prop projections, 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app. Everything we do up at VSiN.com, you get it. Start today for just $9.99 or get a full year and save 50% with a VSiN Pro annual subscription, VSiN.com/subscribe. Red Sox 12, A's 1. Bottom of the 7th at Fenway. If the A's lose tonight, they will be 7-33 over the last 40. And the Cubs have a lead in Kansas City as we speak. And I believe there's still no score in this Braves-Yankees game, correct?
Yeah, and the Twins have now a 7-6 lead over Wisco, the Brewers. Angels up 4-2 over the Marlins. If we look at some of these other scores, so – But yeah, scoreless here between the Braves and the Yankees. About a two-hour delay, so that one was late to get started. Weather affecting some of these games, but Phillies Blue Jays, that started a little late, but that is underway. That is Toronto with a 2-1 lead. Man, it's easy to say now, but I did think, I don't know if you looked at this, Toronto is almost a 2-1 dog with Jose Soriano going. That's a pretty big price for
a guy
as good as Soriano, but Wheeler is Wheeler. But right now, Toronto up 2-1, and they got two on with two outs. So Wheeler's had a couple shaky starts. The Marlins got him about 10 days ago. So Wheeler's been a little bit up and down. I know our buddy, the professor, Aaron Moore, has a ticket on Wheeler, 35-1 to win the Cy Young Award. I'm not sure that one's getting home. Still a lot of time to go, but when you're trying to make up ground, you can't afford too many of these.
That's true. That's true of Cam Swetler, too. Can't afford too many more slip-ups down the stretch. Tonight, the Dodgers, who have dropped six in a row, believe it or not, the invincible Dodgers, short World Series favorites, have dropped six games in a row. Roki Sasaki gets to start tonight. Dodgers at Circa right now, -177. They are at Arizona against Merrill Kelly and the D-backs. And this is one of those spots where you feel like the Dodgers are due, right? You got to bet the Dodgers are due. They're not going to keep losing. But Sasaki's risky. And here's why. You and I have talked about this.
Oh, yeah.
I love his stuff. When it's on, he's got electric stuff. You wonder, how's anybody hit this guy? I think he's better suited as a closer as he was last year in the playoffs. I think he'd eventually probably get moved to the bullpen. Sure. I still think Edwin Diaz is somewhat shaky in that closer role. You know, and I know that the Dodgers are going to say all the right things. We got a bunch of confidence in Diaz. He's missed most of the year with an injury. I don't have a lot. I think Sasaki's got to be a back end of the bullpen guy for the Dodgers. But tonight he starts. The problem here with betting on the Dodgers, because they're due and whatever, Sasaki's either hot or cold. We've seen him in some horrendous starts. We've also seen him look exceptional in some recent starts. You don't know what you're going to get from him tonight.
He could give up three homers in the first two innings and be out of the game, or he could go six shutout with eight Ks. The stuff is really good. I mean, when he's on, like you said, 101, nasty split. It's hard to believe. It's like wiffle ball stuff. But for some reason, it's just hard for him to be consistent with it. And I do think eventually go to the bullpen. So you get Snell back. You get Glasnow back. I'm sure Otani wants to pitch again. You're only going to use three, maybe four starters when it comes to the playoffs. You don't have room for all these guys.
Otani has lost ground. No longer the favorite in the National League MVP race. And we'll see how much he pitches the rest of the season. Probably not much. We've got a few other West Coast games tonight, including Robbie Ray making his debut with the Padres. Astros Padres at Petco in San Diego later tonight. Quick break here on Primetime.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Red Sox 13, A's 1. Red Sox is running up to score tonight. Lay 1.5, lay 2.5, lay whatever. The A's are a hopeless baseball team right now. 7-33 in the last 40 and getting pummeled tonight. No score in the Bronx between the Braves and the Yankees. The Cubs keep rolling. 4-1 over the Royals right now, and that's bottom of the fifth in KC. You know, we talked about the Dodgers. They've dropped six in a row, but Will, they have dropped six in a row to the hottest two teams in baseball. They got swept by the Red Sox in L.A. Yeah. They got swept by the Cubs at Wrigley. There's no hotter teams than the Red Sox and the Cubs. Right now, we'll see if the Dodgers can bounce back tonight. They're in Arizona. That game is about 10 minutes away. Roki Sasaki against Merrill Kelly right here at Circa. Dodgers -177, just ticked up to -180, total of nine. You got to think, a bunch of professionals like the Dodgers, these guys are going to be focused. They don't like losing, right? They're going to be – you got to think they're going to be focused on bouncing back this weekend, getting back on the winning track. I'll say one thing about the Dodgers that's a little bit troubling to me. Mookie Betts is not hitting. He got hot for a while, got his average up around 250, and I thought, okay, Mookie's back. Well, now he's not hitting again. His average is down to about 225, and he just doesn't look like the same player. So we can talk about the big names, Freddie Freeman, Mookie Betts, Otani, and all these, but Mookie is not Mookie right now.
There's a little age on that roster. Mm-hmm. Freeman, Betts.
Yeah.
Otani's not there yet, but you got some of these guys, they are older. So If you're one of these guys, I hate the Dodgers, rooting against them, which for me, you know what? I understand it's obnoxious to spend all this money, but hey, you got the money. You get two options. Put it in your pocket or spend it and put it back on the team. They choose to put it back on the team, so they're doing everything they can to win. But if you're one of these people that hates them, the hope is Freeman's older, Betts is older, you know, Tucker hasn't worked out. There is a little age there that gives you some hope. And you said the two hottest teams in baseball, the Cubs, the Red Sox. We have a listener who objects from Dave Ross, formerly Super Dave Ross.
Hey, the Mets.
My Metropolitan's about to go 4-0 since trading away the entire roster. Where are the new Red Sox? That is from listener Dave Ross chiming in.
We could say the Mets are one of the five hottest teams in baseball. You're still going to rank the Red Sox 1 and the Cubs 2 right now, I believe.
Yes. Yeah. Don't want Dave upset with us.
Well, the Mets beat the Guardians. Let's say the Cubs just swept the Dodgers.
Yeah.
It's about to your level of competition as well. Super Dave Ross doesn't have a lot to be hopeful about here in the second half of the season with the Mets. But I did read some positive news recently that Juan Soto and Francisco Lindor had a sit down earlier this season, and now they're actually talking and getting along in the clubhouse. And you know, it's an ugly situation when your two stars hate each other. Soto and Lindor were not talking. Strong dislike of each other early this season. I think Freddie Peralta was a player who called them together and said, look, you guys got to talk this out and figure out a way. If you're going to coexist, if this team's going to be successful, we can't have you guys hating each other in the locker room. Do you think that's going to continue to be a problem, though, for the Mets going forward? When you project in 2027 how they can get this team back together and get on the right track, can you get it on the right track when you got Soto and Lindor kind of fighting for superiority in the locker room?
It's hard to know. I mean, they were 45-24 last June, and then they were just awful for the rest of the season. And you know this from covering baseball teams. You brought up this point. You know, in football, one guy plays offense, guy plays defense. Not everyone has to like each other. There's 50-something players on a team. You go your separate ways, and there's one game a week. Baseball, you're with each other every day in road trips.
For 7 months
and really longer. I mean, from February, basically from Valentine's Day to Halloween, if you make it that far.
In the same clubhouse together.
In the same clubhouse. Yeah. What do you think started it? Because everyone's had jobs where not everyone likes each other. It's just human nature. But to have it be this level where you can't even stand each other, and you know, we're covering the Bulls. There were rumors Scottie Pippen and Michael Jordan didn't get along. A-Rod and Jeter were buddies until they weren't. They didn't get along great. Yeah. With the Yankees, do you have any idea what or any theories on what might cause this?
So when I covered the Bulls, the Jordan Pippen thing was never really an issue.
Yeah.
No.
You think it was overblown or they were?
No,
just
it was overblown.
It
was overblown. They were professional about it. Like Jordan just let Pippen do his thing because he knew Pippen or Rodman. You know those guys. They got along pretty well at the time, and they all just let Dennis be Dennis, right? You can't try to control Dennis Rodman. If you do, it's going to backfire. And Pippen and Jordan at the time were great. They got along great. There really were no issues in that locker room. Not many that I saw, and you had major egos, big egos in there.
Right.
The only problems were between Phil Jackson, Michael Jordan, and management, Jerry Krause. You remember Jerry Krause?
Sure.
Yeah, so it was kind of like that worked in that way because it was kind of like the team and the coach fighting against management. You don't want the players fighting each other in the clubhouse, which is what the Mets had and why the Mets had kind of fallen apart. I think the Mets probably should try to find a way to move Lindor. You're locked into Soto.
Yeah.
You're locked into that contract. You're not going to move him. Can you find a way to move? Can you find a taker for Francisco Lindor? And I'm not saying the Yankees are going to do it, but the Yankees could certainly use a player like that.
Absolutely. with George Lombard looking like the real deal, you got a 19-year-old who's young and he's cheap. And you control for a while.
Mm-hmm.
You probably don't need, to your point, a guy who's older who makes a lot of money. You know, we talked about earlier Mike Trout. George Steinbrenner would not hesitate. He'd say, you know what, Lindor, I don't care. Now maybe the Mets wouldn't want to trade him to the Yankees. I'm not sure if that's a real thing or not. But George Steinbrenner wouldn't hesitate. He'd say, you know what, the contract, the age, I don't care. I'm going to bring the talent on board and just try to out talent everybody else. But maybe if Lombard, and it's only been a couple games, if he's the real deal, maybe you hope. You have shortstop solved, but we've had a long history, Matt, of the Yankees overvaluing, overhyping their prospects.
I'll say this about Anthony Volpe. He had a really good rookie year.
He did.
Power, speed, defense. I mean, he looked like he was going to be the Yankee shortstop, and things have kind of fallen apart for various reasons. I like George Lombard. I think you kind of bank on him being your shortstop now. You got to figure out second base. You got to figure out third base. You got some things like that in the future. But again, the Yankees are not in a bad spot.
That Jazz Chisholm negotiation, because Jazz Chisholm will be a free agent. That would be a short one on my. His base running blunders, his defensive blunders. He's very hot and cold at the plate. That would not be the direction I would go. Give that guy a long term contract with a lot of money? Absolutely not.
No, I'd find a replacement for him for sure.
Maybe they give Volpe to play second.
I don't know if Volpe is going to play for the Yankees much anymore.
Maybe,
but maybe second base. Right, he can't play short.
Yeah,
he's got throwing issues. Dodgers ticked up to -182 here at Circa. That game's a few minutes away from first pitch in Arizona. Dodgers -182, D-backs +163. We're going to hear from Tarek Skubal talking about he hopes to return to the Tigers after this stint with the Dodgers. Now, this is kind of interesting, too, because Skubal viewed as a rental by most. But the Dodgers, you never know. Dodgers could sign him to a long-term deal. Skubal never... I think he feels like he's got unfinished business with the Tigers. But, you know, for all the hype about the trade deadline, since the Dodgers acquired Skubal, they are 0-4. Yeah, he only pitched in one of those games. But they haven't won a game since they acquired him at the trade deadline. I thought these were interesting comments. Let's hear from Skubal on hoping to return to Detroit after his time with the Dodgers.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, and it sucks for me, too. You know, this wasn't the way the season was supposed to go. You know, going into the offseason, the people that we acquired, you know, through free agency and who we signed, you know, I'm like, this is the World Series team. You know, this is the team that I'm going to go and win a World Series and beat anybody. You know, it doesn't matter what's going on. So, you know, it's tough for Ryan too. You know, I would love to play my whole career in Detroit. You know, I would love to. And hopefully those negotiations can pick back up in November, you know, once the playoffs are done. And we'll see where that goes. You know, hopefully they're involved with everything. You know, I would love to return. I got nothing but good things to say about the city of Detroit and you know, the manager, the coaching, the staff, the trainers, the teammates. Like, yeah, it's tough, you know, and I'm going to try not to cry right now, but I love all those guys. So hopefully they're involved in November and you know, we'll see what happens then.
Skubal situation's intriguing for a lot of reasons. There was a theory that around baseball, so many owners wanted Skubal to go to the Dodgers so they could point to this and say, Exhibit A, this is why we have to have a salary cap. And this is why they're going to force a lockout in 2027 because the Dodgers get all the stars and they have an unlimited budget. You and I, probably different from some of the viewers or listeners out there, we would love to see a Yankees-Dodgers World Series rematch. Sure. Think about those pitching rotations going head-to-head with the Yankees throwing out Fried, Cole, Schwitler, Dodgers coming out with Skubal, Ohtani, Yamamoto, or you got Snell, you got Glasnow. Starting pitching, Dodgers, Yankees definitely have the two most powerful staffs in baseball.
Yeah, I would agree. And Skubal in that clip said he's going to try not to cry. I don't know about you. Didn't sound like he was that close to crying. I'm not sure he's going back to Detroit. I didn't really buy much of that.
Yeah, I don't buy that either. Why would you want – all right, Derek Stevens might be watching. But why would you want to go back to Detroit?
Oh, man.
You're in L.A. with the Dodgers. You got a chance to win it all. Why would you get sentimental about going back to the Tigers?
Yeah, I don't know that he'll be back with the Tigers. I would bet the no on that.
What would you bet on baseball starting on time in 2027? Oof. I think we're going to have something like a 100-game season next year.
I think 100 – sounds like you're on the optimistic side from most people.
You think it'll be more like a 60-game season?
I hope not, but I think even that might be optimistic. I would sign for 60, I think, right now. It sounds like it could get ugly.
All right, we're going to talk some football tonight. Stay tuned.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Football season is here. It's right around the corner. Just like the players, you need your reps before week one. The Sharps has a free weekly league that lets you practice the same football plays you already study. Props, sides, totals, and combos. Everyone starts with 10,000 chips. Build your stack, climb the leaderboard, sharpen your reads. Before the season kicks off, enter at jointhesharps.com or scan the QR code on the screen and use code VSIN50 for a 50% deposit bonus up to $100. Join thesharps.com and use promo code VSIN50, VSIN50. Join thesharps.com. Will Hill, you're a sharp.
Depends what day of the week, what sport, but
Your home is in Connecticut, so you know East Coast sports very well. You grew up a fan of the Minnesota Vikings, amazingly, and still can't quite figure out how that happened. By the way, the Red Sox have wrapped it up 13-1 final at Fenway tonight, 27-3 in the last 30. A's are now 7-33 in the last 40. So you were not a Patriots fan growing up?
No.
Okay. Not a New York Giants fan or Jets fan or anything like that?
Nope.
I wanted to talk about the AFC East for a minute because our buddy Chris Massaro really believes in his Patriots this year, and he thinks the Bills are going to be a fade. And the Bills have a new coach, Joe Brady. He was offensive coordinator. Very close friends with Josh Allen, and I think this was a pretty good hire. I was, I don't know. I don't think Sean McDermott was a bad coach, but he was not a really strong game manager. And I probably would have fired him after the 13-second debacle in Kansas City, right? That's unforgivable. That cannot happen. So now you finally get a coaching change, breath of fresh air. What's going to be a little bit different this year is that the Patriots have a much more difficult schedule than they had in 2026. When I bet the Pats to win the division last year, I really did believe in Mike Vrabel and Drake May. I believe that team is on the rise. But I also thought they could take advantage of a schedule that was softer, right? And this year, that schedule for the Patriots is a little bit more difficult. The bottom line here in the AFC East, just like last year, it's a two-horse race. It's the Bills, it's the Patriots, or it's the Patriots and the Bills. The Jets and the Dolphins are way back, and they got no shot. Who do you believe in more in the AFC East this season, the Bills or the Patriots?
The Bills, just because of Allen, and I don't love the roster around him still. I feel like Allen has gone through a little bit of a Mike Trout trajectory here with just, you're going to look back in a few years and say, man, we had this guy and he hasn't been perfect. You know, he has his moments where there's a little too much Brett Favre in him. He's too reckless. He's too much of a gambler and turns the ball over and does stupid things, but he's still a tremendous, tremendous player. And they haven't put great defenses around him. He hasn't had great skill guys. And, you know, people would say if you're an Allen detractor, well, you're making excuses for him. There's a difference between excuses and just analyzing things and giving reasons. He doesn't have Andy Reid like Mahomes does. He doesn't have great defenses. But Allen, to me, he's a guy, you know, the 2018 is his rookie season. They didn't make the playoffs every year since then. Playoffs, 11 wins, 12 wins, 13 wins. He's almost automatic if he's healthy. And that's the other thing, you know, knock on wood, he doesn't get hurt. I think there's a pretty high floor when you have Allen. Now, their schedule's tough. It's just, you know, these conferences or these divisions are, you know, they play the same teams, things like that. So the Bills and Patriots have a tough schedule, but I trust the Bills more. Super Bowl hangover for the Patriots, the Vrabel stuff, and just such a gap between what their schedule was last year and this year.
Do you give the Jets, the Dolphins, any sort of chance to make a Cinderella-type run in that division? Put some heat on those top two.
Winning it would seem like a stretch. I've heard the case made for the Jets in the past couple weeks that, you know, we all know the stat, and it's still one of the more amazing stats. They didn't have an interception last year, which is hard to believe.
They hired a defensive coordinator as their head coach and had zero interceptions.
The turnover luck was bad. Yeah. The injuries were bad. And they're starting to build, you know, just more. I like their draft. I don't know. I think you did, too. They got some of those Indiana
guys.
I like
their draft.
I like their draft. So, I don't know. But you're probably going to need to get to, like, 9 or 10 at least to win that division. That seems like a stretch. Maybe they have a nice year and get to 8. Everything breaks right. They get to 9. I don't have any bets on them, but I think they're maybe going in the right direction. I still think they need a quarterback. But to answer your question, no. I think you can pretty much say it's a two-team race, right?
Two-horse race. That's what it is. Yeah. Bills, Pats, two-horse race. Jets, Dolphins way back in the pack. And the Dolphins, I don't love the Jeff Hafley hire. I don't love the Malik Willis quarterback situation in Miami. Do you? Do you like much about that, Hafley, Willis?
Hated the hire. Did people not watch the Packers-Bears playoff game or that?
How about both Packers-Bears games, the one in December and the one in January?
Absolutely. I mean, I wouldn't hire that guy. I mean, who knows? Never know with these coordinators, but that would not have been my hire.
Not even close.
Yeah.
But the Dolphins made some poor coaching hires.
They have.
How about the win totals at 10.5 for the Bills or the Pats? Anything there worth playing? And also, you know, we were at the office bar over here in Vegas a couple nights ago. Our buddy Sammy P and the Bear threw a party over there, and Proxy Service giving away a free entry to the Westgate Super Contest, the college version of the Super Contest, and we had a bunch of people from BetBash who were over there at the office bar. That's an official, by the way, an official Buffalo Bills bar. It's a very happy place during the regular season, very sad place in January. Do you feel like that Josh Allen will eventually get over the hump, or you just say, I don't know, it's probably not going to happen?
You're running out of years. What's over the hump? Winning a Super Bowl, getting there?
Just get to a Super Bowl first, and we'll take it from there. Do you think he'll get to a Super Bowl?
I'll say he gets to one. I don't know that I'd bet on it, though. But if I had to bet yes or no, I'll say eventually, you know, we've seen this in these other sports. Eventually, the best way to win it or to get there is to be around a bunch of times, to be close. And eventually, you know what? You get the call against Denver. Eventually, you don't screw up the 13 seconds. Eventually, it breaks, right? But eventually, you run out of eventuallys.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're getting to that point. You're going to run out of time. By the way, I thought the Bills sort of got screwed by the officiating in the playoff game against the Broncos.
They had themselves to blame, though. But I mean, they got some rough calls.
How many times did they turn it over? Bunch, four or five times?
The one before the half was ridiculous. Yeah. And I don't think, who was the receiver? Was it Cooks? I know you look at a certain angle, you take the still shot and say, man, it's dual possession. Give it to the offense. He didn't have the ball for very long. I mean, it was very briefly. That was one that really could have gone either way, and I had no problem with it. I actually thought it was the right call.
I've got that game recorded, and I've watched that play probably 30 times, different angles, and it seems to me the NFL always rules out a catch.
Yeah, but boy, you got to hold on. Here's the thing though with Cooks, if he holds on to it for a half a second, a split second longer, we're not even debating. It's absolutely a catch. He just, like, barely had it at all.
But he did have possession, and he was on the ground, and he was being touched.
But you see one angle where the ball was kind of moving the whole time, though. It depends what angle you look at. One angle, the ball was moving the whole time, and you say he didn't really have it.
But you're right. They turned it over too many times, and you just can't turn it over on the road in playoff games like that. So the Bills open the season at Houston week one, and the Texans are a team a lot of people are high on this season. I'm a little bit more cautiously optimistic about the Texans. Could be a dominant defense. How do you feel about the Houston Texans? Week two, by the way, Lions in Buffalo. Week three, Chargers in Buffalo. Week four, Patriots in Buffalo. How about that schedule?
Lions, Buffalo feels like last team with the ball. That to me seems like an over bet. I don't know how good. I know people like Detroit. People like the schedule. I'm not sure how good they're going to be defensively. Mm-hmm. But Houston, I think. Is that 9.5 still for the win total? With that defense, you should be able to get to 10 wins. I know C.J. Stroud has regressed, but I think more of that was in the playoffs. I thought he was okay during the regular season. He was terrible during the playoffs. Did nothing against Pittsburgh, didn't have to, and he was just almost embarrassing to the point where he should have been benched that game against New England. Mm-hmm. But that's a defense, man. Defense travels. Defense will carry you. They should be a double-digit win team with that defense.
All right, I'll get back to the question I asked you. I got a little bit sidetracked there. Win totals of 10.5 on the Bills and the Patriots. Anything you see worth playing on those win totals?
I like the Patriots under. I don't like going against Chris Massaro, but look, I mean, you could pull up that schedule. They're going to get to 11 wins with that schedule. That's a really tough schedule.
Patriots open at Seattle on Wednesday night football in week one. Then they're home against Aaron Rodgers, Big Mike McCarthy, and the Steelers in week two. Patriots then at Jacksonville, at Buffalo, home against the Raiders, home against the Jets. Then you got Bears, Packers, Lions, Chargers, Bills, Vikings, Chiefs, Broncos on the rest of that schedule. So you think the Patriots are more like a, 9-8 or 10-7 type of team?
9-8 sounds right. What do you make of May? And we can continue this on the other side or later. What do you make of May and what he did in the playoffs? Because he's another guy. He was not good in the playoffs. Was he hurt? Was it nerves? Was that more who he was? Because he was not good, really, in any of the games.
Well, you're right about that. He wasn't very good in those games. Again, I would say a couple weeks ago, I went back and I watched that Patriots-Broncos playoff game. Boy, the quarterback play in that game was pitiful on both sides. Drake May was not very good. I was most discouraged about the Patriots' performance in the Super Bowl. What did they do in the 2 weeks leading up to the game? Did they prepare at all for anything the Seahawks were going to throw at them? They looked totally unprepared in the Super Bowl on both sides of the ball.
Unprepared and overmatched.
Was Mike Vrabel distracted?
It's possible. Who knows?
What's going on? I don't like I believe in the Super Bowl hangover.
I do too.
And I think the Patriots have already seen some effects of that with the Vrabel situation off the field. Anyway, but it does look like a two-horse race in the AFC East. I give the Bills a slight edge at this point. We got 1 hour to go. on VSiN Primetime. Stick around here to the Sports Betting Network.